Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
YouTube.com/BrianFonseca, at Brian Fonseca NY on social media, except Blue Sky. That's BrianFonseca.bSky.social. I have Gerard Hector here with me. We're continuing State of Sports series, mini-series. And today we're going to focus on the NBA. Gerard Hector of True Hoop is going to be talking with me about a few macro subjects. We're actually going to do pass or play. We're going to do a little bit of game here, but I have a few subjects listed. I will offer them to you, Gerard, and if you want to talk about them, you'll be like, all right, let's go
play. Right.
But you can pass.
I know.
You can, if you want, you could pass on every single one, and this episode will be over in 1 minute.
Not great for our YouTube views.
which have been trending a little bit up lately, so I appreciate that. Okay. We want to talk about the NBA from macro perspective, and particularly what's to come in 2025. And beyond. And the NBA discourse has been what it's been. So we're going to start off with ratings, pass or play.
I want to pass on this. And actually, I'm going to because we're going to get into it anyway when I play on a certain subject coming later.
Okay. I figured you would pass on ratings. I don't really want to do like ratings talk, like a subject specifically on ratings either. Kind of hope you play on this one. Three pointers.
Well, we're going to play on that. That's going to tie into the ratings.
Okay, let's go. So three pointers. What people are complaining about,
right?
Among other things, the lack of a mid-range game. The quote-unquote excess in three-pointers, which there has been a big jump, and I have some thoughts on this as well. Where are you with the discourse on three-pointers and whether or not there are too many? Just where are you at with all this?
It's disingenuous and it's nonsense because people have nothing better to talk about. See, and this, Brian, is my problem, and this goes into the rating situation. The game is at such a wonderful place right now with the amount of talent we have in the league. But if you ask the casual fan on the street, not us, not as NBA sickos, to talk about the great amount of talent all over the league, they couldn't tell you anything outside of LeBron, KD, and Steph. And you know, because KD's my guy, how much I love that group of dudes. But yo, man, we got amazing players all over this league. But how would you know? Shaq, Chuck, Kenny, none of those TNT dudes talk about any. They have a whole segment, Brian, with who he play for. Like, I mean, what are we doing? So about this three-point situation, like it's just another way for people to trash the product. And I just don't understand. Like, look, I'm not saying, and I work at True Hoop, so we don't champion the NBA just because and wave pom-poms. We kill this league on a regular basis.
Right. And right? I know that for a fact. Yes.
But like the idea that three-pointers are ruining the game. And it's like, what are you talking about? The thing that people love the most in basketball are dunks, right? That is the most popular thing in basketball. Mm-hmm. Do you know why three-pointers are important? Because they suck people away from the paint so they can do what? Fucking dunk. Like, I just, like, people need to understand holistically what they're watching, and I don't think they do. Everyone just jacking threes is such a lazy way to describe the game. Because, yes, while you look at three-point attempts, of course they are up. But if you look at how each team generates their threes, vastly different, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder are a drive and kick team, right? That's how they generate their three-point look. The Dallas Mavericks don't do it that way. Single high pick and roll, Luka Doncic, up, double comes. It's very different. Like, know what you're doing. Much like the Boston Celtics, who it's like swing, swing, or the Indiana Pacers, who multiple action, multiple action. Oh shit, wide open three in the corner. But again, people don't know what they're watching, Brian, because the NBA and the people who champion the sport on TV do a bad job explaining what is happening in the game. Unlike the NFL, where, my God, you would think like you need a fucking PhD in astrophysics to understand nickel coverage, on, right? Like, I mean, it's insane how they break it down. Now, to be fair, there are inherent advantages football has. Most of the game is standing around. So in the in-between, you can break down and do. So I get it. In-game, it's much easier. But yo, man, you got smart people who can break this stuff down and, again, can make it in layman's terms that the casual fan will understand what they're watching and what they're seeing. But we're not interested in that. Instead, shitting on players and this guy sucks. All they do is shoot threes. Brian, you know, I started watching basketball in 85, right? Like, that's my first memory of basketball. Lakers fan growing up. I hated the Boston Celtics.
Right.
Like, I go back and watch a lot of those games in the 80s and 90s because they exist. NBA Classics, YouTube, whatever. Hey, man, all this mid-range shit you guys want to talk about? Clunk, fest, and ugly, disgusting basketball. And don't let me, oh, so they're playing defense. No, they weren't. Them dudes stink, okay? Like, it just, it was not, a lot of it was not good basketball. It just wasn't. And I'm like, do you want to go back to that? The idea of it doesn't make sense. Yes, I understand to people it sucks for them when they watch a team shoot threes and miss. It's like, yeah, do something different. Here's the thing. In that NBA Cup championship game, right, the Thunder missed a ton of threes, right? Here's the thing. If they shot their average, which is 35%, they shot 15 for that game. If they shot their average, they probably win the game. They didn't. In any one game, random shit happens. Sometimes you suck. Like, it is what it is. But this whole discourse about, oh, too many threes. No. The game is different. You have to be a different kind of athlete and basketball player to play in today's game, right? There's no longer a game where Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley, right, those guys couldn't play in today's games because they don't have the mobility and the hips and the flexibility to race out to three and then also come back in and protect the rim. They just can't do it, right? And that's what we have now. We have the evolution of athletes and the evolution of skill, and this is what it leads to.
Okay, so if you look at three-pointers just per game, Denver is dead last right now as of when we're recording this at 30.6. By the time this drops, I'm sure that they'll be around the same amount because they take 33s a game. If you put them in the 2014-15 NBA season, they're second after Houston in the NBA most three-pointers taken.
Yeah.
I think that's what people are reacting to. It's more so about, it is a big jump. It's jarring when you watch. And to me, I understand the math of it all, obviously. And three is just ultimately more than two. You have a lot more shooters now who are capable of taking three.
That's the biggest thing, Brian, people don't talk about. Back in those days, Brian, on the peak Bulls, Jordan and Pippen were your only elite scorers that you had to really worry about. You couldn't leave Kerr, Paxton open for threes. But for the most part, nobody else was a non-factor.
All-around scorer, yeah.
Teams put five dudes out who can light you up on the court at a time. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's different. It's also, you know, the way it's officiated. The way you have to guard now is it makes it more difficult to guard guards on the perimeter, I feel like. So there's a discussion there that we could have about that. But to me, the three-pointer thing, it is a little jarring just because of the jump. But I also understand the strategy. Like, I'm kind of more in the middle where I'm like, I get the other side and what they're complaining about. Not to say that I fully agree, because I think ultimately what you miss about the mid-range game, so to speak, is you kind of just miss like the Kobe shots. You know what I mean? God. Which now, and this has been said, so I'm not like, you know, this is not like a revolutionary point, but top guys in the NBA generally operate out of the mid-range. Like the elite players.
Listen to mid-range. Listen, people who are good can shoot in the mid-range. We're saying all you shitty people, you can't shoot in the mid-range. That's all we're saying.
I think that's what people misunderstand about analytics is like when you look at who was taking the mid-range shots back in the day, a dude like a Tracy Murray, for example, who was a very good jump shooter for his time, took a lot of mid-range jumpers. Allen Houston took a lot of mid-range jumpers where it's like these guys should actually be taking these shots from three. That would make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And even back then, there were people saying this. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of them. Even Ray Allen, if you look at his three-point numbers, he didn't take the volume of threes that some of the top guys take now.
I always think of this, Brian, quick side tangent. Peak Ray, if he was born for this era, and he was a Hall of Famer in his era, but in this era, he might have been an MVP.
Like, by the way, all three dudes that I just mentioned, like would kill in it. Even Tracy Murray, like he'd be really good in this era if a lot of those mid-range shots became threes. But what we did have back in the day is like, yeah, it's kind of jarring when you watch NBA from 20 years ago. And there's a lot of, I'm not even joking, for people who may have missed it or whatever, who are younger, foot on the line twos. And you watch it and it's like, yo, that was a shot. That was an acceptable shot. I had high school games, Gerard, in the late 2000s and early 2010s, where like I had multiple teammates who lived out of the mid-range. I was one of our only three-point shooters, and they would take shots sometimes that were like right underneath.
Right. So with the ledger, you're like, oh my God. Just take the half inch back, man. Take the step back. Like it's worth a point more.
Especially,
here's
the thing. Especially in high school where the three-point line is not 23 point whatever feet out.
And the percentages, Brian, once you leave the first box, right? So that painted air weather room and then the second box, your chances of making decrease dramatically. So a long two, literally just inside the arc, the chances of making that versus a three are virtually the same. So if you can get one extra point, why wouldn't you? It's just math. And again, and when you're playing again in this era, to you where you mentioned you got five weaponized guys, yo man, when you play in the Boston Celtics and they've made 23s, you ain't gonna get back in the game killing them with the mid-range. You have to be able to knock down threes, or else you're gonna get blown out. And yes, mid-range is not dead. Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, DeMar DeRozan, Devin Booker, like Bradley, all the elite players, Nikola Jokic, live in the mid-range.
Jimmy Butler.
Like, the mid-range is not dead. We're saying
Jalen Brunson.
The average player? No. That's a bad, just take the step back because it's the same, you have the same chance of making it. And we have a point more. That's all we're saying.
Look, if you're an average role player, but you happen to be really good in the mid-range, yeah, then take those shots, but also, you know, be really good at them.
And if you were really good at them, you wouldn't be an average role player. This is the point, right? You know? This is the point.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of what it is, where like that's an evolution of the game, so to speak. Now, on the consumer's behalf, I will say, going back to it being tough to watch sometimes, I understand Mazzulla Ball. I understand the point of it. And I like Joe Mazzulla as a coach. He's actually become low-key one of my favorite coaches.
That is not surprising because he's such a different kind of dude. And I'm like, that is Brian loves all that energy. I'm like, this dude's a weirdo. I'm like, Brian loves this dude because he's a weirdo.
1,000%. And I was shitting on him the first year because we all were.
I mean, what an impossible situation you got thrown in the day before training camp opens. Yeah, bro, you in charge now. I'm sorry, what?
Like, and the reason why also
correct
jarring. But watching the Celtics has been interesting to me because I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I've talked to people, like smart basketball people. Do you think this is fun to watch? And I think smart basketball people do. Mm-hmm. I don't think casual consumers do.
Yeah,
and that matters because even when I talk about boxing, because boxing, mm-hmm. there's big, like, the diehards mm-hmm. are like, yo, fuck the casuals. And I'm like, no. We need fans.
Yes.
You need casual fans to become more than casual so mm-hmm. that your sport can mm-hmm. grow, so that whatever it is can grow. So if the casual consumers, even if they're wrong, are saying, hey, the Celtics shoot too many threes, this isn't fun to watch, what do we do about that?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And I think, when you say, so I'd ask the casual, when you say fun, what are you looking for more of? What is it about the three-point shot that is not fun to you, right? I don't want to exactly examine that with them because it isn't like when you watch the Celtics play, they just come down the court, whoever has the ball just chucks up a three. That's not what they do.
Right. They work to get the shot. They correct. Spread you out. They rotate correct. The ball. Like they give you the ball movement that all the people say that they want.
Correct. And so, but I think, Brian, oftentimes people miss that part of the game. And that's not, they don't see that. They don't see the beauty and the jazz of the game. All they see is the end result. Miss shot, make shot. That's what they see. They lose and their brain goes somewhere else in the, oh, what's happening off the ball? Why did that person run to the corner and screen out? Most people don't see that. They right. just don't.
They're not right? looking for that. They're just following the ball.
Correct. Also. And so if they're already predisposed to make too many threes and the end result is a three, it's confirmation bias. See? All I do is shoot threes. Right. And it's like, no. But you miss how they got the three and why that. We talked about it before we went on air. Like we were talking about how the process in many ways is the worst part of anything you do, right? Because it actually is the best part, right? Enjoy the journey, right? The destination is really kind of immaterial. It's the journey. But for most people, that's not the thing. You want to get there. You want the end result. You want to know who wins. It's like, no. The process, my guy. Yes, it's painstaking sometimes. It's difficult. It's whatever. And there's nuances, right? Watch.
Marketing. Pass or play.
I'm going to pass because I know what's coming. I know it's coming.
Okay. I do think the NBA might have a marketing issue, but that's its own.
We'll get to it.
But this may fold into that. Discourse, how games are discussed. And I know play. This is a play for you. Yes. Okay, so discourse. I know this is going to sound like a reaction to the reaction, but like a lot of people seem to be talking about the NBA who aren't watching it. And then there are people talking about the people who talk about the NBA who aren't watching it. And there's just like the discourse is just it seems kind of crazy to me in a way that NFL discourse is probably not, at least from my observational point. Maybe some people will disagree, but where are you at with the discourse on the NBA and how it's affecting the game, so to speak?
Brian, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, it's just like the people who are in charge of telling the story of this beautiful game. We, you and I are part of the people in charge, but we are, because we work for independent media people, mm-hmm. we don't have the outsized platform of Stephen A. Smith, TNT, and all that. And God help us when Inside the NBA gets on ESPN. Disaster.
Because I like it. I like Inside the NBA.
Here's the thing. And it's not, look, Inside is great for when I want to have jokes and yes. laugh. And,
yes.
And, but here's which the difference, Brian. You and I, because we are diehard sickos and we cover this, we know if we want to actually deep dive on analysis, we ain't turning on Inside the NBA for that. We're tuning on Inside the NBA to watch Chuck Tripp run into the board or
honestly, to watch a good show, but like honestly, yes. that's what,
because
to,
they are it's excellent still, at laughing yes. and telling jokes.
It's still one of my favorite
yes.
TV shows. But yes. If I want like deep dives on things, especially very right. niche specific things, that's what podcasts and YouTube channels, discussions like this are for.
Exactly. So, but the problem is, Brian, the casual fan does not do that.
Right.
The casual fan goes, Shaq, Chuck, famous people who were excellent at basketball. What they say must be true. Whether yeah. they make that as a conscious thought or a subconscious thought, mm-hmm. it happens. These are the authorities. Stephen A. Smith, basketball authority. And it's like, but is he? Right. He doesn't even watch the games. And again, I love to point this example out. The year that the Nuggets won the championship, ESPN and Disney will have one of the conference championships games and TNT will have the other one. So TNT had the Western Conference. And so mm-hmm. they were on location watching the games. And Shaq, he was like beside himself after the game talking about Jokic. He's like, oh, I just like, I was like, whoa, the way he like, and I'm like, yeah, you know why you're doing that? Because you weren't watching him before. That's why you're so amazed, because you clearly were not watching. Those of us who watch were like, he does this literally every single game.
Honestly, you saw signs of Jokic doing amazing shit his rookie year. Some of the passes he was making, I was like, oh my God, this is a second round pick.
But his rookie year, he would have been on who he played for, right? They don't know. They don't know, because that's their whole shtick, right? Until you become an elite superstar,
yeah.
they don't give a shit about you. And that is a problem, because again, this league is full of talent. How
you
good?
Know what? You know what, Gerard, though? I think this is a problem we have in this country, like on a grander scale. We're stepping into dangerous territory here. But now we have such a significant gap between rich, working mm-hmm. class, poor, to the point where people who have less are manipulated into supporting people who have more in an idealistic way. Like, oh, I can be that, when percentage-wise, they probably will never do that, because of the way people get rich. It's like, usually just handed down, or they just fuck a lot of people over, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. So how that pertains to here is like, a lot of people only care about big names for certain subjects, stars for certain subjects. And this is how a lot of people in the middle get sort of cut out. So increasingly in NBA coverage, this is why we've seen more like Lakers talk, LeBron talk, Curry. Like, it's the same rotating subjects. People joke about this, but it's a real thing. If you put on any of the big shows you're talking about, Inside the NBA, First Take, yeah, to your point, it just feels like the familiarity these guys have is just with big, big stars.
And it's not about a knock on LeBron. It gets to the marketing thing, right? Which I pass on when we bring it in here. Mm-hmm. How many years in a row is it now that LeBron, KD, and Steph are playing on Christmas? Seems like damn near 100. Oh. Them dudes have been playing on Christmas Day every day since probably their rookie year. Yeah. Like, and again, it's not, I love those guys. KD is my dude, but it's like, yo, man, enough. Like, thank God Wemby's playing at the first game, you know? Like, I just, like, we gotta, there's so many more talented players, and if we would do a better job of highlighting that, instead of constantly trotting out, oh, what do the Lakers got to do to get LeBron more help? Da, da, da. It's like, guys, There's so much more here than just that.
By the way, the new CBA doesn't help this because now even the pay disparity, like it's a reflection of where we are in this country. We're like, the max get the max. Mm-hmm. There will be a little bit for you role guys to fight over. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if you don't take an exception or a you know, like a mid-level exception, for example, or if you just can't fit into some cap space, then you got to take a veteran minimum like Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because like that's a damn good player who went to Washington, thought he was going to get traded to a better team, didn't, and took a shitty deal with the Suns where he's in a good like basketball situation, but he should be making a lot more money than he is.
And he will because he's playing great this year and it's a great, so he's getting a lot of pub because this is where it matters for him, right? He's playing on a team with Kevin Durant, which means he's going to be on a lot of national games. He is playing well, right? He will get someone because it's a one-year deal this year. When he's a free agent, some team who will have money, but I'm like, oh no, we got to get Tyus Jones because this guy is great.
And we'll see who has money.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because not a lot of teams will, and that's the other part. Like that's the thing, and it gets more difficult. And it's like, I don't know where the pendulum swings back. I've been thinking about this as it pertains to also this country, but basketball as well. Where like, is there going to be a time where people who aren't diehards talk about the middle class of players again?
It doesn't swing back, Ryan. I don't think because like, as I always say, sport is a microcosm of the larger society in which it inhabits, as you so aptly pointed out. Look at what is happening around you in the streets, people. This is what late stage capitalism looks like.
Yeah.
It ain't cute unless you are in the 1%. It's not cute. Right. And so this is what we have now in the NBA. We have this, we have so much fat around. And by fat, I mean excess games, bloated. Think about it. And again, this is not about.
Oh, you're definitely going to play on this last subject, though.
This is not about LeBron, KD, and Steph not being. I mean, these are first ballot, the greats of the greats, the greatest players of this era, all that. Yes. But yo, when they, at this stage of their careers, command the majority of your salary cap for a team, that is a problem because they are not as good as they once were. Still elite, but the production does not match the money. And that's the way the CBA works, right? Is that you get paid the most when you're not as good anymore. It's almost like we're giving you money for what you were. No, it should be the other way, right? Like, or really, if you really want to do it right, all you hedge fund guys who run teams or whatever, have it actually free market capitalism. Like you all love and profess that it's the greatest thing ever. Make it actual capitalism here. You pay the highest. If you got a rookie coming out, you think, hey, I think he's up, pay him $100 million straight up. Do it then. If you think you know when you can project. Look, all of this ties into what we're talking about with the discourse. And it ties into the last thing, which we'll get into as well. But there's so many things that need to be shifted and changed. And I think once we affect those things, Brian, the discourse will change. The product will get better. I mean, I went to Brooklyn last night. What's today? Today's Monday. I went to Brooklyn Saturday night to see Utah at Brooklyn. Media season. I didn't buy tickets for that. And here's the thing. The fact that me, an NBA sicko, just told you I'm not buying tickets for that should tell you all you need to know.
And Nets tickets are cheap right now.
Thank you. It's just like, what does this game mean? It's a one of 82. Like, what are we
actually? Both teams are tanking. You know what I mean? Like, Utah's been tanking and the Nets have just been like, yo, Dennis Schroeder, you're helping us win a little too much.
We got to
like,
get rid of you.
Yeah.
Which we did. I wanted to see Laurie play, whatever, but also the experience in the arena, Brian. I was like, yo, man, if I had I don't have kids, but if I had my partner and I, if she and I decided to have kids, whatever, and like, I'm like, I wouldn't spend money to bring them to an NBA game.
I was like, listen. Okay. So I've talked about this with my girlfriend because she hasn't been to one And I don't go as a fan either. Like, right. I only go if I get right. like a media credential.
Right.
I also go to less games now.
Right.
Because one, it's just easier for me to do my job mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. I can watch four at a time. Right.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind much of part easier of the to problem. Watch. Yep. The in-game experience is just not like, it's not great. Like, we're in 2025, damn near. We're still doing defense, like as a chant. And I'm watching like EuroLeague games. Where they're doing like chants the entire it's oh, like a soccer
let's,
game.
Let's get into that, Brian, because you got the CarMax race across the I'm like, why are you constantly trying to sell me shit that I don't want?
Another piece of like where we are as a society is just everything has become advertising. Like everything. And basically all the apps who were like, hey, we're not gonna have commercials, have added commercials, have raised their prices. And it's just like more and more and more, just like more money for the 1% is essentially where this is all headed. It's too expensive. So a lot of people are just like, yeah, fuck that. That's one problem, especially at the Garden now. Like,
oh, yeah,
especially over there.
Well, the lower bowl, right, in almost any arena. And when think about it, these owners have been jacking ticket prices for years and they just keep going up
because
up,
people
up,
keep
up,
paying
up,
for them
up, up, up. But people the lower bowl, Brian,
yeah,
which is where it should be the most passionate people should be. In the lower bowl. That's not what it is. And I know this because I've worked corporate. I would take clients there to entertain them for the night. And like, if I'm entertaining a client, Brian, even though I'm an MBA and I've been an MBA sicko for a long time, even before I was in the business, I'm not going nuts during the game. We're watching, but we're also talking business. Right. We're like, you know, so I'm not doing the thing I should be doing, which is like, oh my, like, it's just, that's the right. nature of it, right? And it's just, to me, that is such a problem that we have, is that the excitement is just not there. And you mentioned European football, soccer. I mean, you ever see the lower section of any soccer section? For any section, but the lower section in particular, where the team's most rabid fan bases are? Yeah. Holy hell. Like, insanity.
Going to my first European football match in 2025. See, I cannot wait.
Cannot wait. Bro. Insanity. Insane. I'm like, that's what it should be.
Also kind of nervous, by the way.
Oh, as you should be, because it's you're gonna be like, what the, where you going? In Spain?
Yes.
Where which game, which you're gonna the Bernabeu? You're gonna Real Madrid?
I'll tell you off.
All right. Off, like, it's gonna be nuts. Listen,
it is a rivalry match though, which
oh, gonna be even crazier. My god, like but it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah,
this ties into the NBA's problem, right? And they just, we mentioned marketing again, they can't market their product well because they have too much of it. You know, Henry talked about this on one of our shows recently. If you have a group chat with a bunch of friends and someone drops in, hey, I've got an extra ticket, or I've got two tickets for insert any NFL team here. How fast do those shits get snapped up? Versus, hey, I got tickets for the Sixers. I mean, Sixers are a bad example, but whatever. I got tickets to insert NBA team here.
No. The Sixers are the perfect example because I actually think this is part of the problem too. And maybe this is what we end on, but the injuries and the late scratches, like as someone who plays fantasy basketball and as someone who is obviously wanting to be plugged in just from, not just from a gambling standpoint, but from like, all right, who am I going to watch tonight standpoint? Like, buyer beware has never been more of a thing in the NBA because like you get a ticket and some people well in advance. And these are working class families who save up money to get these tickets. Be like, yo, this is my activity for the month because I don't have time for all this other shit. I have multiple kids, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and we're going to see if they're from, let's say if they're from Brooklyn and it's like, you know, you're not paying to see Dorian Finney-Smith with all due respect,
right?
But you want to see him play against
Giannis, Dallas, or whoever. Right.
Let's use the Dallas Mavericks for an example.
You want to see Luka.
Luka Doncic is out. You want to see Luka. You want to see Kyrie. Mm-hmm. And the other day, it's like, we come back from a break because like they're out of the NBA Cup. They have a mini break. And Luka and Kyrie the day before both have nagging injuries. So they're both questionable. Luka's out. And then Kyrie is scratched like during the afternoon, like hours leading up to the game. And if you paid X amount of money, they're not going to give you a discount all of a sudden just because PJ Washington is like on the marquee now and Derek Lively as opposed to that. Nope. And if you're the consumer, like, yeah, you're going to be resentful toward that. And on their behalf, like, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, Brian, this ties into...
This happens a lot now.
Yeah. This ties into the elephant in the room. But it's too many games, right? Like, there's just... There we go. This is when you have when you have an 82 game schedule, right? What game matters? Like, you're right. Like, it's just like four game. I say this all the time. And forget about kids or whatever. Any human being with a job and reasonable amount of responsibilities, four games in 7 nights, I got no time for that shit.
Right.
Or four games in 8 nights? No, I don't. I don't have time for that. Right. That's the whole idea about like in the group chat, like, oh, I can get tickets to the whatever another time. Right. Cause you know, and that's the thing the advantage NFL has, right? Is the scarcity. Even though they've upped their amount of games to 17 or whatever, they still, or 18, they still have the scarcity factor. Right. And it, each game is so vital and matters. And when you're buying season tickets for an NFL game, you're only buying 9, right? Or whatever the number is. The NBA wants you to buy 41 fucking home game tickets. 41. Brian, we do this for a living. I don't go to 41 home games.
There's not a chance. I had season credentials for the Nets multiple years. I didn't go to 41 games either season. I went to a bunch. Probably went to like 20-something.
It's but... I'm just not doing that. Like, I don't have time for that, man. Like, and so...
Other jobs. That's the thing. Other people
things
have
to do.
You have to have multiple jobs now in order to, like...
If you can trim the fat off of this and make it that much more meaningful, one, you'll see less injuries, number one, right? If we have the same time frame we have, which is mid-October to beginning of April for the season, but we had 58 games instead of 82, at most, you're playing twice every 7 days. At most.
You know what the thing is, though? Because of greed from ownership in particular, we just know that they're not going to do it. Like, we have all the scientific reasons, too, because, like, now these guys are coming into the NBA with more wear and tear. Like, this is not no longer a theory, right? Like, this is something that's been proven. Like, now, the debatable part is, like, is it due to AAU, specialization? I think at least in
that's some a large part
form,
of that.
Yep. At least in some form it has to be, because I'm 30 now. So I'm part of the last generation where like kids were still playing multiple sports. Yes. Like in high school, you would do basketball in the winter, but in the spring you might do baseball or in my case, track and field.
Right.
Before that, you might play volleyball in the fall or in my case, I did cross country when I really should have done soccer. I really should have done soccer.
Yeah.
But like there were people who did that. Like I had teammates who did multiple sports. Like some, like a few of us did track and a few of us did like soccer cross country before that. And on the girls team, there were a lot of tennis players. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. After that, like mid 2010s, I start seeing more like just kids playing basketball all year round. Or baseball all year round. And now those kids are pros and we're seeing, what are we seeing more of? Torn ACLs, Tommy John elbow surgeries, season enders, Achilles injuries, like all these wear and tear injuries. And the scheduling hasn't changed. It's still 162 games in baseball. They added a playoff round. You know, they added teams that could make the playoffs. We're adding to the football schedule. It's 16, it's 17. It's going to be 18. Like we all know it's going to be 18. And with basketball, it's 82 games, but also it's a harder 82 than before because people could say what they want about the defense of the 80s and 90s, but these games are harder now because they're so fucking fast. They're so fast. The wear and tear is ridiculous. Like part of the reason guys were able to play all the time back then was because like the game just wasn't as quick. You watch it, like they're taking a deep, they're taking breaths and beats in between. And you could argue maybe that's more responsible in how to play, but now it's like everything is just so fucking fast. The quick twitches and all these
turn on a game from the 80s. 10 dudes all within a foot of each other inside the 3-point line. Not a whole lot of movement going around there, folks. Like so you're catching a break. Like
the fast breaks don't even look as fast.
Right. Because where are you fast breaking? Now, again, because so many teams play five out and again, everybody's weaponized. That's why you can't have big lumbering centers because you're screwed, right? You're gonna be 4-on-5 the other end every
Roy
time.
Hibbert no longer exists,
right? And that's just the nature of the game. But I concur, Brian. Listen, I get it. Capitalists want to make their money. If you switch to a 58 game schedule, I concur. Contend injuries will decrease, which means star players will play more often, which means you can charge more for tickets, right? Because you know, hey, Shaq, whatever. Player X, who's awesome, isn't only coming into town once, right? Because you only play each team once, home and away. That's it. This is the only time I get to see this player. This is the idea, right? Not saying injuries won't happen, but I think those wear and tear muscle use injuries will decrease because teams will actually have, the players will have time to get recovery. practice and train in between games. They don't do that now. They finish a game Monday night. Guess what they're doing the next day? Rest, recovery, getting on a plane because they got a game on Wednesday in Utah. Like, yeah. This is how it works. Or that night they get on the plane to go to Utah. Like, it's just you when you're doing that kind of succession of games coming in such a quick order like that, the body gets worn down because there's no time for recovery and training to build it back up. Now you have guys who lift after games and stuff and whatever, and I'm like, listen, God bless y'all, but it's like this is part of the reason why your guys are hurt, because after the play, 24 hours of nothing, you literally off your feet rest. Next day you get into the gym. Day after that, you get on the court. Like, it's just there's a way that you can set that up where it's a lot different than it is right now, and I think it'll lead to better basketball products. The games will matter more because you lose 5 games in a row, you're in trouble, right? In a 58 game season, in an 82 game season, meh, who cares, right? Like, we'll figure out. We'll come back around. You know?
Do you think the scheduling is the most important thing? Like, if you had to change one thing in 2025. And it would take place for a while. It is just reducing the games from 82 to, I don't know, 66 or whatever number.
I mean, I think that is the most important thing. I don't think it'll happen. I think the NBA really needs to think about how its partners talk about the game, how it markets it. The importance, I understand that famous people sell seats and get casuals. I understand that. But here's the thing. This league is so good. Make everybody some kind of a star, right? Like, not obviously you're going to have your elite of your elites.
Yeah.
But there are great players all over this league. Talk about them.
With personalities, by the way. Like, that's the other thing. With personalities.
Yes.
Like, I understand. Look, I know Kyle Kuzma's in Washington, but like, he'll say shit.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a fun, like,
he'll wear funny scarves. Like, come on. Like, yo, like.
Yeah. Like there are guys throughout the league who are more interesting than some of the star players, I would say, who are more guarded. Like, all due respect to Jason Tatum, who's a phenomenal basketball player, but I don't want to hear that dude. Period. Like, I just
don't say nothing. Steph doesn't say anything. Like, these guys, like, they're not nothing interesting about them. Yeah. Like,
you know, but Patrick Beverley's not in the league anymore, and I know some of the shit he said was perhaps dangerous, but I mean, you need some of that in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, I think to me, it's like I'm fascinated by how the game is discussed. And I say the games. I say the game because the games usually aren't, unless they're high profile. And you could honestly tell this because of the reaction to national games, that you could tell, like, people aren't watching on League Pass or whatever. By the way, last thing, because we talked about this, there's like this growing movement to banning League Pass. Like, I don't
understand why. For what is the purpose of banning League Pass?
It's more so from the standpoint of, like, the game is too accessible.
And I get it. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Into our thing about there's too much, too many ways to access it. I agree. Like,
and the point that I heard Waz make on Bill Simmons' show was basically like, yo, I was fine growing up with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, watching sort of the national games and then my local games here, right? Like, I was okay. Obviously, it wasn't going to last because, you know,
right. Money.
Money. Ultimately, money's generally always the answer. But I mean, I don't think that's going to happen also because money, people pay for League Pass. We both pay for League Pass. We have YouTube TV and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what would that even look like?
You know, this ties into the amount of games. It's just too much fat, right? And this also connects to the All-Star situation, right? Why the All-Star game is so bad. All-Star was so meaningful growing up, Brian, because most of those players, those stars, the Western Conference guys, I would never see them because there was no League Pass growing up, right?
Right.
You had Sunday on NBC, right? You're double or your triple header depending on the time of year, and you get your local team, right? Whatever market you lived in, right? Lived in New York, New Jersey, so it's the Nets and the Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. New Jersey Nets, then obviously New York Knicks. That's what you're getting.
Yep.
And you'd only see those guys when they would come to town to play your team but otherwise, so the All-Star game was super fun because, oh my God, Chris Mullin you didn't see those guys often, right? Like, that just was the deal. And
especially also, if you were a New Yorker watching Chris Mullin, who were familiar with him at St. John's.
Exactly.
High school,
exactly.
You know?
And player movement didn't happen as much as a free agency. Mm. So those guys playing together was less likely. It's everywhere now. Like, you see them all the time. And you don't, I'm like, I don't, who needs it? So I get the idea of ban League Pass. They're never going to do it because of money, whatever. Again, it goes back to me. There's no novelty, right? It's an abundance. And even forget about games. Go on Instagram. I can see everything about these guys and their IG lives, whatever. Cut out so many of the fatty games. If we bring that schedule down to 58, my God. And we won't now because we're going to expand in a few years. We're going to have 32 teams, which is, good Lord, God help us. which means more games. Yay! Yeah. 58, like, it will be so much more meaningful. Because actually, it gets you closer to a college-like schedule, right? Because college, they play, what, 35, 36 games or something like that,
good
right?
Good teams, yeah.
So it kind of gets you to like a little bit of natural progression up. I would love that. And then to know we own certain days of the week. It's like, all right, the NBA is here on Tuesday and Saturday. All right, those are my NBA nights, right?
Yeah.
And so much of the different things, again, it goes back to marketing and everything. It would make it easier for the casual fans. And now, oh, no, Tuesday's NBA night. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
These are the games. I get to choose. Oh my God, there's 20 games on. Which one do I watch? Like, this is how you do it, man. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we're going down the path. We're going down. Player movement's a discussion for another day that we got. I mean, I'm doing a trade deadline special somewhere. You know what I mean? Probably here. I want to do a trade deadline special. So that could be player movement time. Because I mean, or free agency, because that's another thing, and also being impacted by the CBA. But we're not going to go for an hour here. That's Gerard Hector, True Hoop. Subscribe to the pod, follow him on Blue Sky because he cares more about that than Twitter now. I'm slowly getting to that point, but yeah. I don't have the following on Blue Sky yet, but we're getting there. Subscribe to the channel, watch time, like, comment, and let us know what you think about the state of the NBA, what needs to change, what you like about it, and we'll get into more as the channel progresses. Talk to you very soon.
Peace.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/getstarted for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.